This is the Cedar Creek Church Living It Out podcast, a midweek reminder where we discuss key takeaways and principles from the weekend message to help you live out the truth that you matter.
Welcome to the Living It Out podcast. My name is Kelly Pagel, and with me today is Daniel Rose, Groups Director at Perrysburg Campus. Daniel, good to have you back.
It's great to be back. I'm excited to talk today.
Yeah, it's going to be a great message as we unpack our final week of Losing My Religion. I can't believe it's been 5 weeks. It was a five-week series, and I always think, oh, that's going to be so long. And here we are.
This series went quick. It was a good one. There was so many different things that I felt like I learned. All of them were helpful. Yeah. And so I'm glad we went through it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It really challenged you to kind of think about things in a different light. So I enjoyed it. Well, this message was given on May the 4th.
And yes.
May the 5th. So I have to ask, are you a Star Wars fan?
Yeah. I grew up a big Star Wars fan. Okay. I loved all of the Star Wars movies. Obviously, 4, 5, and 6 are the best. And if you think otherwise, you're probably wrong. And my favorite game to play growing up was actually Lego Star Wars. I would play it on the GameCube, and it was one of my absolute favorite games I've ever played. I just thought it was so fun. It was so classic. I felt like I could be a Jedi, just like in the movies. So I really enjoyed it. It was a ton of fun. I love Star Wars. I love the different stories and what they teach us. And I also just think they're fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 4, 5, and 6, definitely. If you have a different opinion, let us know. And I grew up, with Star Wars in the theaters, the original thing. And I remember my cousin was super into Star Wars, and he got the Millennium Falcon action,
for
Christmas. Oh, it was so cool. So that was fun. To do that, to think about that with him. And yeah, so.
Good stuff. Well, happy May the 4th.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you.
Or Revenge of the 5th.
And Revenge of the 5th, yeah. Anyway, a little bit of fun before we dive into our message. And so to get us started, to kind of bring us back from all that fun, do you want to give a quick synopsis of what Ben talked about this weekend? And then we'll kind of dive into some questions.
Yeah, this weekend, Ben tackled a really important question that I think a lot of us ask as we learn more about who God is. And it's this idea that if God has endless grace and gives grace to us always, can we do whatever we want?
Yeah.
Can we live however we want? What's the point of doing anything differently if God's grace is so free? And so he hung out in the book of Ephesians.
Yeah.
And so his main passage that he really spent a lot of time in was Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and then as well as Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And so as Ben kind of went through the message, he talked about, in some ways, what it looks like to be God's masterpiece too. Because grace, like the passage says, is a free gift. Salvation is not a reward for what we do. It's a gift that's been given to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't change the fact that God has called us to do beautiful things in this world, which is awesome. And then Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God.
So much goodness in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Ben challenged us to, especially Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, mm-hmm. to commit that to memory.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are some of, for me, some of the most impactful verses that I've heard in my life, and especially Ephesians 10. When I was younger, I grew up going to different church camps, and there was one particular camp, I'll never forget it, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 was the passage that really inspired me to make a difference in the world. It inspired me to become a pastor.
Wow.
It was one of those moments that I was like, no, God has God has designed me and gifted me with the ability and the purpose to make a difference. And I really want to do it. And I felt called to ministry because of it. So for me, I love this passage. I have a heart for it. And I think it's really cool.
That's really cool. That was a fun little tidbit about you. And I think just how powerful scripture can be in our lives. Mm-hmm. Because that passage does really point to our identity in Christ and, his purpose for us.
Yeah, for sure. And what I think is really cool about this passage as well is I think it highlights that the Christian life is a grace-filled life. Mm. But I think in some ways it challenges what we see as grace, right? Like for us, sometimes we just see grace as this thing that we get so that we can get to heaven. It's this point of salvation. It's like, oh, I received my grace. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. But when I read this passage, I see more than that. I see grace as something that we experience every day, mm-hmm. that we live a life filled with God's grace in us, that we imitate God, for God is graceful. And because of that, we get to live a life where we make an impact, where we get to live a better life. And it's not about just doing what we want. It's about stepping into the purpose that God has for us in light of the change he's made in our life and in light of our desire to be more like him. Because if God is a grace-filled God, and just like Ephesians 5 says, we're supposed to imitate him, mm-hmm. that can really impact the way that we live.
Yeah. Good stuff. I know in the message that I heard, Ben had mentioned that grace is really what frees you and me from playing that religious game. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just a really great nugget. Like, oh yeah, you know, it's that. But I think it's hard for us to accept that grace. Like, it's almost easier to slide into that earning mentality. So mm-hmm. why is grace so challenging, do you think?
I think grace is hard to give and to receive. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of us, one of the reasons that it's so difficult to receive God's grace is that sometimes we don't see ourselves through the eyes of God. Because we can't, right? We don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. And so we don't have that grace for ourselves. So why would we see ourselves as worth it? And for many of us, we live lives that in one way or another, we've experienced shame or pain or hurt, mistrust. And when you hear something like about a God that has endless grace for us, no matter the mistakes we make, no matter what we do, it's interesting to think that, like, there's no way. Like, how can God really be that way for us? How can God really love us that way and want more for us? It's difficult to receive grace, and it's also difficult to give it. Yeah. In my life, what's interesting is I think for me personally, it's been easier to give grace to others than it is to myself. And for me, it's like I want to imitate God. I want to be the best at sort of being the best Christian I can be. Mm-hmm. I want to live a life where I honor him, and when I make mistakes, man, I beat myself up. Man, I want to do it right. But for other people, I'm like, oh, that's fine. You made a mistake. Yeah. And so sometimes I have to remind myself that, like, grace doesn't only change you and your future and your ability to experience salvation, but it's also something that affects the way that you see the world around you, including yourself. And that is very, very difficult to wrap our heads around sometimes. Yeah. But it's so important to the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it, because other people observe that, and maybe people who don't, haven't placed their faith in Christ yet, see not only how we treat others, but also how we treat ourselves. So it can mm-hmm. be a powerful opportunity to, live out that grace that God has extended us. It's not easy. I can say it, but mm-hmm. doing it is definitely harder. And yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's much easier to give grace to others. Oh, no problem. No worries. And if it were me doing the same thing, I would be like beating myself up. So it is challenging.
And I think sometimes too, it's easy to look at who you once were and allow that to direct the way that you see yourself. Mm-hmm. But when we read a passage, again, like Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's masterpiece, and he created us anew, right? He created us into something different than before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're tempted to look at our past. We're tempted to see what we were before we were changed into who Christ has called us to be. And it's like, well, that's still me. That's still a part of who I am. That's still a part of my identity. But what's beautiful about God is that he changes our identity. Mm-hmm. He changes us into his masterpiece, and we've got to work toward believing it. That's a part of what it means to be a Christian, again, is to love God, to love others, and in some ways to learn to love yourself in a new way than ever before.
Yeah, recognizing that work that Christ has done through us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff to think about. And I think that just drives home the value of memorizing. I would even challenge you to memorize verse 10, but Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and really own those and let them, you know, work their way into your heart, because they can be so powerful as you start to find that new identity in Christ and live from it versus, you know, having it up here is one thing, but really owning it and living from it is another thing. So,
yeah,
that's great. Well, you know, this series, every week there's been something like that has made me go, wow, I haven't thought about it in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's been similar for a lot of people, from those that I've talked to, that there have been things that have really stopped and had them stop and think. And so as you think about this entire message series, if you wanted to give some encouragement, what do you hope that people will leave with?
Yeah.
And be the overall, I mean, we always talk about, you know, a weekly takeaway, but what's the overall takeaway from this series that you hope people remember?
My hope for this entire series is that people will know that despite their previous experiences with church or any religion, that there's still a chance for them to relearn what it means to be a Christian and to relearn what it means to follow God. Because for some of us, we've had painful experiences in the church, in other religions. Maybe we've had a past experience with pastors or something that has caused us to be frustrated. Like we feel like we were lied to, or we were not loved well. And what I love about this series is that it shows us the heart of what it means to be a Christ follower. And it's to live a transformed life, right? To know that God is in us. He's given us grace. His Spirit is empowering us to make a difference in this world. Yeah. And that despite whatever our past experiences, despite what has ever happened to anybody, that there's still a chance for you to learn to love God again.
Yeah.
So that's my prayer for anybody that heard this and maybe needed some encouragement or a push, that it's never too late to learn and relearn what it means to follow Christ.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, for encapsulating all the messages. I think that was beautiful. So from here, where do people take it from here? What are some practical next steps for them, whether they are newer to the faith or maybe returning back, or they've been here for a while and want to really step into what these messages have had to offer?
So again, especially for a lot of these messages, this idea of relearning what it means to be a Christian, learning is, for me, easiest to happen. It's easiest for me to learn things when I'm doing them. And so there's a lot of opportunities at church, not only just to join a team, right? Obviously, you can join a dream team, you can serve, but also you can engage in community. Grace is something that we experience from God, but it's also something that we live. And so when we choose to engage in Christ-centered community, we have to learn how to live out a grace-filled life with the people around us. And so, I mean, the summer group semester is coming up. It's a great chance for anybody to just get involved in a group, to consider joining one, to consider what it looks like to engage with other Christians who will challenge you in your faith, who will push you to be a graceful person. You see, community is a place that we can also receive grace. It's not just, you know, at church we had this amazing moment where we finally discovered that God loves us and we get his grace. Like, we get to continue to embody who God is to the people around us. So we get to live gracefully, we get to be graceful toward others and receive the grace of others as much as we have to give it to ourselves as well.
Yeah,
community is cool because it challenges us to offer grace as well as receive it. It challenges us to live differently, and it challenges the way that we think, which, again, the this series may have done for a lot of us. It's challenged what we imagined religion to be. Mm-hmm. Community does the same. People are from, especially in groups, like you can be in a group of people that are from so many different places, from so many different backgrounds, experiences, and that diversity of experience can truly change how you see God. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, in Ephesians 5, it says to imitate God, and you're not the only one doing it. There are other people in a group that are aiming to do that as well, and that's through their experiences and what they know and what they have learned about God, and so you get to learn about each other and challenge each other in that way. So I would encourage anybody to consider joining a group, or obviously a dream team is great, but again, community groups are a great place for you to experience what it means to follow Christ. And also, a great thing coming up at the end of the group semester in July is Serve Day. Yeah. And so maybe that looks like joining a serving team. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with someone today, actually, this morning. It was Ben, and he said, when we serve, we're pouring out, and it creates space for God to continue to fill us up. And so Serve Day could be a great opportunity for you to see what it's like to experience God's presence in a new way. So, yep.
Yeah, that's July...
July 20th.
July 20th, okay.
Yep, it's a Saturday.
It's always around the
20th. The third Saturday of July.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Great.
So.
Yeah, and there were, I know in the past, and I imagine it will be that way again this year, there's so many different opportunities to serve at your campus. And so groups take on different service activities, and then there are some campus activities and things like that. So a lot of different opportunities based on where your heart is and how God has wired you.
Yeah.
You can step into a serving group that will potentially bring you around people that share your passion of who you want to serve and how you want to serve.
Which is really cool. And like, you might even have a chance to serve with somebody, not only that has the same passions as you, but our hope is to create some serving experiences that are family friendly too.
Yeah.
So even if you've got kids and you're like, well, I don't know, it might be a lot. Know that we're working toward having projects that are family friendly. So as we get closer to the date and those things get posted, we want everyone to make a difference for God's kingdom every day.
Mm-hmm.
But Serve Day is a great chance just for us to get out in the community as one collective church.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who we are, no matter our story, no matter what our family looks like, no matter how busy we are. So I'm giving you a warning ahead of time so you can mark off July 20th in your calendar.
Yeah.
To everybody listening today, July 20th,
yeah.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. Well, and I was going to, that was one thing I was going to say is, you know, we say it's Serve Day because mm-hmm. groups serve throughout the day, but it doesn't necessarily mean it takes the whole day.
Nope. Certain projects are just a couple hours.
Right, exactly. So don't write that off. Like, I don't have the whole, you know, if you're like, I don't have the whole day, well, you might not need it depending on the group that you join. And definitely, you know, if you have kids, I've been there. I've had young ones. And I remember going, and that particular year we helped spread mulch at one of the area parks. And, you know, we went really early because that was the year that it was like 100 by 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they moved it up really early. And so we got back in the car and it was like, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 7:30 maybe. It was really early. And I'm like, well, kids, you know, what was it? And they're like, it was really amazing how fast we got done. I mean, we had a lot of mulch. And they were just so amazed at how when everybody comes together, how powerful that is. And that was one of their big takeaways from that event, was seeing a group of people come together and make stuff happen.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of... a momentous time for them, watching adults do that and being able to be a part of it. And I think it gave them a lot of appreciation. And they were young. Yeah. Like, they were young. So we always try to have those opportunities. And so I encourage families, if you have young kids, look to see what those are.
Yep.
Yeah, because it can be great for them. Well, Danielle, any other final words that you have? I think you really did such a great job summarizing things, but I don't want to cut you off.
In the message, Ben shared a quote from Dallas Willard.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to maybe take some time to chew on it. So if I could read it again really quickly.
Absolutely.
My hope is that we'll remember this as we step into this week. And it's, grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning.
Mm.
And so just for the audience, whoever's listening today, to remember this, that God's grace doesn't mean that we don't want to grow. It doesn't mean that we don't want to make a difference for his kingdom. It doesn't mean that we don't want to continue to be who he's called us to be. But we don't have to earn it.
Yeah.
It's given as a gift. And the purpose is that it can continue to transform our life and continue to remind us that we were made for more. And so that's my hope for everybody, is that this message will remind them that they were made for more.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah, definitely a good spot to end and wrap up. And so, listeners, I hope you will take time and just think about that quote and what it means and how you can live that out in this week to come, but in the weeks beyond that as well, that it's something that will stay with you. So, Daniel, thank you for being here. It's always great to have you, to get your insights. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope that this time has reminded you that you matter and helps you to live it out as you go through your week. Thanks.